People have needs. And today here on Maranatha Radio, Pastor Ray Bentley says God has the resources to meet those needs.
You could do an instant survey here anywhere and ask people, okay, what are the top three things that you want out of life? Well, I would like more love. I would like joy and happiness. And please give me more peace. The top three things that human beings want is in God. And most of them don't know it.
Spread the news. All of his people coming down before the King. Lift your voice. Jesus is coming. Join the song. Sing along. Let it ring.
Welcome to Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. Today, some good encouragement about the pipeline of God's blessing and provision. Pastor Ray shows us how we're the branches and the Lord is the vine. Our provision comes from Him. And practically speaking, that conduit of blessing is the Word. Let's learn more. Here's Pastor Ray now to begin.
2 Timothy chapter 3. And the title of the message is The Beauty of God's Word. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Let's bow our heads and pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you and pray and ask that Holy Spirit, you would come. Do, O Holy Spirit, what you do, ministering to the hearts and the lives of the people who are gathered here this morning. Lord, we just thank you for bringing already the manifestation of your presence. May we hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. May it encourage us and build us up in our most holy faith. And we ask all these things in Jesus' wonderful name. And everyone said, amen. Now, in verses 10 through 13, this is Paul's last letter that he ever wrote. He is now in prison. So if you've had a hard week, it's nothing compared to what was happening with the Apostle Paul. He is in a dungeon in Rome. He is actually days away from being martyred. He is now writing this letter. It's a personal letter. He knew it would be read within the churches. And it's kind of his last will and testament. It is him passing on to his favorite son in the faith, Timothy, everything that he has and knows. He says in verse 10, "But you," he's talking of Timothy, "have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecutions, afflictions, which happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured. And out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. But evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." Paul had encouraged Timothy. He goes, "Timothy, just remain steadfast. You know my message that you've heard, and you know that what you've heard from my lips has been backed up by my life." And already within we're talking the early first century church, already there were factions trying to pull it apart, little tangents going off on, you know, doctrinal issues and teaching issues and stretching the gospel and changing the gospel, and Paul was wrestling with it from the very beginning. The beautiful church that God had planted on the day of Pentecost, Holy Spirit poured out, 3,000 saved at one time. But already, that wherever God moves, there will always be an immediate reaction and opposition to it. There's a spiritual battle going on. There's way more than meets the eye. If all you do is look at on the surface of what's happening, you don't have a clue what's really going on. There is, beneath the surface, all kinds of things going on, spiritual battles, warfare, tug of war. And a day will not go by that at some point or other you have to unsheathe, as it were, the sword of the Word of God and be ready. And that's why Paul is encouraging Timothy now, get into the Word, know the Word as I've taught it to you, and be prepared. Now, in verse 14, we pick up where we left off. He says, but you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them. Timothy, what you've heard and learned of the gospel, hold on to it. Be faithful in it. Don't sway and don't be moved in one direction or another. Now, Timothy came from a godly family. His mother's name was Lois, and she was a Jewish believer. Timothy's grandmother, her name was Eunice. She was also a Jewish believer. Now, it turns out that Lois married a Gentile who also happened to be an unbeliever. So Timothy grew up in a family where half of the family, there was no spiritual support, encouragement, or input. The other part, which was both his mother and his grandmother, from his infancy, he was raised in the Scriptures, which means the Old Testament, and which also means he was raised on the stories of the Bible, the great stories of the Bible. And then when Paul the Apostle came and shared in the synagogue, the Messiah has come. His name is Jesus of Nazareth. Let me tell you about him. Believe in him, trust in him, for he was crucified and he is risen from the dead. And I, on the road to Damascus, saw him with my own eyes. And immediately, Lois, Eunice, and then the son, Timothy, received the Lord Jesus. Paul and Timothy then bonded together and became best friends. And you have to think, how cool is that? To be able to tell people, you know, my best friend happens to be the Apostle Paul. It's my best friend. But these three, his mother, his grandmother, and Paul, were the kind of the root and influence of Timothy's life. And he's saying, now, continue on in that, Timothy, and continue to grow. Now, I realize that there are a lot of you that maybe come from a variety of different backgrounds. In fact, let me do just a brief little survey. How many of you were raised in a home where mom and dad were both Christians, or at least sought to raise you with Jesus and take you to church and or Sunday school, but both parents? Let me see, how many of you? Wow, quite a few. How many of you were raised in a family where one parent or the other was the spiritual one and the other one really kind of like, Grandpa Walton or whatever, he had nothing to do with church? How many came from a divided, kind of like Timothy? Let me see how many of you. Okay. Now let me ask this. How many of you, neither mom nor dad, you really didn't get much of anything, if anything at all, religiously, spiritually, let alone Christianity? It just was not there at all. Let me see how many of you there are. Wow, amazing. How you are highly favored of the Lord, because you get to start the planting of a brand new tree from which will come new fruit. And it's very, very exciting. Look with me in verse 15. It says, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. From childhood, you have known this. For those who gave their lives to Christ, or those who recommitted their lives to the Lord, all of us who are believers in Jesus Christ, Jesus describes becoming a Christian as a new birth. And is literally, it's like a new birth and a new life that has been planted within you. The gospel is sometimes likened to a seed. And that seed will bear after its kind, whatever kind of seed that you plant. Being born again is like having the seed of God planted inside in the deepest part of your heart. This seed is unlike any other seed. It is a supernatural seed. It has life in it, the life of God. It has the very presence and power and the resurrection life of Jesus Christ. Now, if that seed is watered at all, if it is cared for or nurtured or nourished at all, if it grows at all, it will fulfill itself. It will become the very thing that the seed is, which is a life-bearing, fruit-bearing tree. And the Bible tells us that we are not only fruit trees, but that there's all manner of fruit that are born in a spirit-filled believer's life. The Lord annually will have to prune you, and it will seem like, oh no, I'm being cut back, the leafiness is gone, the green is gone, it's cut. But then every year the blossoms will come, you'll see the wisdom of what God does in your life, and it's a process that will go on the rest of your life. And so that year by year your fruit grows bigger, sweeter, juicier, and better. The fruit of the Spirit is, and the first three fruit of the Spirit listed are the fruit of love, joy, and peace. You could do an instant survey here anywhere and ask people, okay, what are the top three things that you want out of life? Well, I would like more love, I would like joy and happiness, and please give me more peace. The top three things that human beings want is in God. And most of them don't know it. But thank God for those whose eyes have been open and who see and who know and are bearing fruit. And as that fruit grows, you have to have a new root to bear new fruit. So now you belong to the family of God. And let me say that you have now been grafted into this beautiful family. You have literally untold millions and millions of brothers and sisters. You will never be alone for the rest of eternity. You have an amazing family that you have been brought into. Crosses all barriers, all cultural barriers. And it's also an opportunity, because none of us grew up in perfect families. There are always gaps and areas that are missing in our past. The Lord then gives us in this new family an opportunity to be reparented, to relearn, and to be made whole within the body of Christ. And the food of this seed that is now dwelling within us, the nourishment, just like your physical body needs food to grow, the nourishment and the food of your spiritual life that you want to grow, because when it grows, who does not want to begin producing the fruit of love and the fruit of joy and happiness and the fruit of an ever-increasing peace? The food necessary to grow that life within you is the Bible, the Word of God. This is the food, the life food that is planted into the root that is there within your heart will cause the fruit to grow and be abundant and to be very, very juicy. So look with me in verse 16. Now Paul gets to it. Here's the food for the life. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. In the Greek, it says theos, Neustos, God, breath. God, breath. God breathed the Bible. This is unlike any other book in the world. All Scripture is God breathed. All Scripture is inspired. Now, I want to say something. And here's where now I have to step out of the box for a moment, okay? And at this, I want for just a moment, okay? Don't be writing anything, or just little eyeball to eyeball contact here, okay? You watching? You looking? Do I have your undivided attention? I know you drift during the message. It's okay. I realize, because I have been encouraging you guys from the beginning, I want you to read your Bibles. I don't want you to just, I mean, I'm very glad as a pastor that you come to church and then we study the Bible and you listen, and that's great. But I am hoping that if I am at all successful in what I feel called to do, that it will be like an hors d'oeuvre, or it won't be satisfying enough that you'll say, I want to read the Bible for myself. I want to read the Word of God myself. I want you, and I give you not only permission, I encourage you, read the Bible for yourself. Don't take my word for anything. It's fine. You search the scriptures. You see what God has said. You hear what he is saying to you and digest it and think about it. So I've been encouraging, okay, to read through the Bible. And some of you maybe are new to this, and so at some point you decide, okay, I get it. I'm saved, but now I'm going to take the next step. I'm going to grow and get deeper with the Lord. And you start reading through the Bible. Invariably, once you begin doing that, you're going to come up against some obstacles. By the way, there is an enemy who does not want you by any stretch of the imagination. Now that he has lost the battle for your salvation, you're saved, so there's nothing he can do about that. Well, his next goal is, well, at least I'll keep them away from growing so they'll be miserable the rest of their lives until they finally go to heaven. See, he goes, well, it's true that God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. It's equally true Satan hates you and has a horrible plan for your life. And the one goal that Satan has is to divorce you from this any way he possibly can. The church, Christians, divorce them from it because he knows this is the power of God. It is God-inspired, God-breathed. It is life. So, here you are, you start reading it, and invariably you come up against things that you don't understand. And I want you to know that's okay, that's normal, that's healthy. I've been a Christian for a long time, and a pastor for many years, and I still, there are things that I don't know and that I don't understand, but that I trust in the Lord. For instance, you may come, you know, and I also know that many of you are highly educated, far more educated than I am. You have degrees, you have been trained, you are experts in your fields, in science, in the medical profession, technology, engineering, all kinds of things. And so I know that you, okay, Jesus, I get. He was a historical figure, and I understand the dynamic of his life, and even I believe in him and his resurrection, and he is my Savior. But then when you actually come with that intellectual, analytical mind, and you come to the Bible, and you may stumble over, for instance, the story of Jonah. Invariably, the temptation is to say, well, aren't some of those things just stories for us that are kind of metaphors, and we're to get, you know, extract some life lessons out of them and apply them and better our lives? Because it's difficult for you to believe that God actually took this guy who jumped out of a ship and swallowed him with a great fish, submerged for 3 days and nights, then took and spit him up on the shores on his way to Nineveh. If I really have to believe that. Well, the question is it really true? Now, what's also interesting is that in the newspapers, you can read about how that men have created this machine where they can submerge below the surface of the water and take a group of scientists and literally travel beneath the Arctic for 100 days and then come up and deposit those people who were underneath for 100 days at their destination far, far away. You read that and have no problem with it. Well, yes, man, you're talking about a submarine or some kind of thing that went down. Yes, I can believe that. And yet you struggle with God being able to do exactly the same thing with one man for only 3 days and three nights. Well, what's interesting is that Jesus himself, after doing so many miracles, and the people kept saying, hey, is there anything more that you can do for us? And he finally, he had walked on water. He had talked to the wind and it obeyed him. Demons screamed who he was, and he kept telling him, be quiet. I don't want or need your testimony of who I am. Be still. He raised people from the dead. He cleansed incurable diseases like leprosy. He opened the eyes of the blind, the ears of the deaf, the tongue of the dumb. He did all of that, and they said, well, is there anything else or more that you... He said, no more. No more signs. You get one more sign. And this is the last one. And what was the sign that he mentioned? You will see the sign of the prophet Jonah, who was for 3 days and nights down in the bowels of a great fish. So the Son of Man will be for 3 days and nights down in the bowels of the earth, and on the third day, he will rise from the dead. Isn't it interesting that the very story that some people struggle with is the very one that Jesus said, oh yeah, I know, Jonah, and he's a real guy. And what happened to him is real because it's a type and a shadow of what's going to happen to me in my resurrection. Or then you say, well, then do I have to believe in the flood and Noah? And well, it's interesting that again, Jesus is the one who said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man, where people were eating and drinking and marrying and going on about life as if it was always going to be the same until the day that he entered the ark and God shut him in. And the people outside, because this guy, you know, had been preaching, you know, judgment is coming, judgment is coming. And 100 years he had been preaching that. Nothing happened. And he kept talking about, you know, a flood that was coming. So now he gets sealed into the boat, which they all think he's probably crazy, until the day it starts to rain. The first day it rained, they probably went, oh, this is nothing bad. Little drops of water out of the sky. But for 40 days and 40 nights, until finally all were swept away. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. Now let me just share with you, as I read through the Bible myself, there are things I come across I don't understand. And here's what I do. I believe it. But I say, Lord, I don't understand this. I'm putting this into the category of waiting for further information. And how many times over and over, you know, you grow, you learn things that you think, you make judgments about the past or how God has dealt, and then you learn later. And you go, oh, now I see. Now it makes sense. And so, live by faith. Read the word. Understand all scripture is God-breathed and divinely inspired, and let it speak to you. A spirit-filled child of God should live in such a way that your life creates a thirst in the lives of those who don't know the Lord for the things of the Spirit. What do you have? I would like to have some myself.
Great encouragement from Pastor Ray Bentley today. Here on Maranatha Radio, part of our continuing study in the New Testament book of 2 Timothy. Now, today's presentation by Pastor Ray is available on CD. Contact us and mention The Beauty of God's Word. It's available for just $7. And again, that title, The Beauty of God's Word. And you can now get Pastor Ray's entire series in 2 Timothy on a single CD. MP3s of every one of Pastor Ray's messages from this series on one compact disc. Order online at maranatharadio.com or address a letter to Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. Well, Pastor Ray, we're making available your latest book, The Holy Land Key. I recently read a review, and it said, the book leaves you wanting more. This person spoke of how captivating it is to go behind the scenes in biblical prophecy. They said they were stunned.
You know, that was my personal experience. You know, after studying the Bible and knowing generally about prophecy for many years, God began to open up whole new layers of understanding of the past, of the biblical feasts, and of their relevance to the church today. And I was on fire, excited. I couldn't wait to write the book. And it's really exciting to see people reading it and seeing what I've seen, learning what I learned, and then getting on fire. And that's why I can't wait for people to read it and to learn these new things. I think it's going to really change their perspective and open their eyes in some ways they can't even imagine.
And this will reveal what we see reported in the news every day in a whole new light, won't it?
It will. I think that it puts an exclamation point on the things that we keep getting jolted by as we watch what's happening. These are the very signs and patterns that Jesus said are indications the kingdom is on its way.
All right. We'll find out more in Pastor Ray's book, The Holy Land Key, available to Maranatha Radio listeners for just $10. To get a copy, write Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127, or order it online at maranatharadio.com. Next time, join Pastor Ray for more from our studies in 2 Timothy. More from God's Word next time on Maranatha Radio. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley is an outreach of Maranatha Chapel, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127.